This is Chelsea Ferraro reporting for 91.1 WZBT, Gettysburg College Radio. This summer, a group of music students, faculty, and alumni traveled to Bali, Indonesia to conduct research on the musical and cultural practices found on the island. My topic explores Blaganjer, a type of Indonesian percussion ensemble consisting of gongs, cymbals, drums, and pitched bossed pots made of bronze. This art form is a popular one on the island, and several groups were featured at the Bali Arts Festival during our time there. Like a snail, our car creeps through the traffic, constantly stopping and going. The driver handles the clutch car as smoothly as though it were an automatic. We stop in the middle of an intersection for what seems a full 7 or 8 minutes, as street police try to direct all of the cars into the next jalan, or street, that led to the arts festival. Despite the traffic cops whistling and waving arms, the cars continue to push slowly toward the street, jockeying to get there first. Meanwhile, mopeds and motorbikes, with giant kites, various cargo in tow, and with families of up to 4 people crammed on, weaved in and out between the cars inching along the road. It seemed as though we would never reach the festival grounds in time to see the first group perform, let alone get seats. Blaganjer, it seemed, was a very popular type of gamelan music, as no other night had presented this many traffic delays on our journey to the Arts Center. Finally, we arrived at the Arts Center and made our way toward the main stage amphitheater. We knew it would be more difficult to find seats together as a big group that night, and in anticipation of that, we had split into groups of 3 and 4 ahead of time. However, as we reached the final step to the top of the amphitheater, it seemed none of us would be finding seats, as the standing room around the top had already begun to fill up. My small group of 4 decided to head towards the far left wall of the theater, hoping to find space on the wall to sit or stand near. By a stroke of good luck, we ended up finding a small section of bleachers open in the midst of the sea of spectators. We slowly made our way to the section, and, though it was a tight squeeze, it was a place to sit with a view of the stage. Since we had spent so much time in traffic, we didn't have long to wait before the announcers came out to announce the event for the night and the groups from the different regencies that would be performing: Bangli, Tabanan, Badung, Jambrana, and Buleleng. The crowd, full of energy and chatter moments earlier, hushed to listen to the announcers. Full of anticipation, the crowd waited impatiently as the announcers spoke, and finally, after 15 minutes, the announcers left the stage. The first group was about to come out. From our seats, we could see trees, brown furry things on tall sticks, and equally tall red and gold parasols being carried beyond the wall towards the entrance to the stage. There was a great clamor of percussive sounds, following a shout by the group. The gongs and drums then began, and the first group slowly processed onto the stage. First was a woman dressed in a blood-red sarong, which is a tied skirt. It had black pattern weaving down the front folds, and she wore a red and gold blouse. She carried a top-heavy sign that announced the regency, Bangli, and she was followed by 2 female dancers in gold sarongs, red sashes, and gold shirts carrying offerings on trays. All 3 women wore golden headdresses that looked extremely heavy and difficult to maneuver with. They were then followed by the rest of the ensemble, dressed in gold sarongs and black shirts. Some were holding drums. Others were holding chang-chang kopia, which looked like small crash cymbals. Others held the rayon pots, which looked like cooking pots upside down, with a raised boss in the center. The rayon pots would provide much of the melodic line within each blaganjer piece, along with the underlying tone ostinato provided by the gongs. The gongs were held by 2 people each, while being played by a 3rd person. I watched as all of the performers' bare feet were in step, some walking in halftime and others in regular time, but all in sync with the beat and one another. Suddenly, the second part of the piece was faster and more intense. The performers suddenly sprang into motion, moving about the stage in various formations and patterns, much like a marching band would move through drill movements during a show. Different instrumental sections would move toward the front of the stage if they had a particularly complex part. The performance was riddled with visuals, waving of Chang Chang, and dancing. The second group from Tabanon had an equally as exciting introduction beyond the wall before processing in, entering to gongs and rhythms tapped on the edge of the rayong pots. Their costumes were based in similar colors to the first group, with the woman holding the sign in a white and gold dress. The women with the offerings wore black and red dresses, and the instrumentalists that followed had black shirts with black and gold sarongs. They, too, had parasols that were red, white, black, and gold, along with furry things on sticks that were red, white, and black. Instead of pine trees, Tabanon had a giant prop that looked like a triple throne, with black parasols over the seats. Later in the piece, towards the end, performers pulled red, black, and white ribbons from each seat, and sparklers on top of the parasols began to spin as the rest of the performers gestured towards the throne prop and sang. Eventually, the crowd would thin out halfway through the evening due to rain, but the groups continued to perform as though nothing was happening. The next day, I had the opportunity to speak with Iktat Gede Asnawa, our teacher, as we prepared to perform in the arts festival ourselves. He told me that Blaganja was not always competitive. The first contest took place in 1986. Following that first competition, it became extremely popular to have contests and competitions all around the island. Soon, groups were finding new ways to set themselves apart from other competitors, and Kreasi Blaganja, or New Creation Blaganja, was born. Iktat Gede Asnawa had written and arranged pieces for Blaganja, some of which were performed at the festival. However, he no longer does so because he feels that Blaganja groups and other writers have moved too far away from the original art in their eagerness to bring something new to each competition. Blaganja is one of many types of gamelan music on the island. According to Music of Death and New Creation by Michael Bakan, it is part of the Karwang family. This means that it is made of bronze instruments rather than steel, bamboo, or wood, thus belonging to the same family as gamelan angklung, which is the type of ensemble we have at Gettysburg College. Traditional Blaganja has been part of Balinese culture for a great deal of time. It is normally involved in ceremonies that require a procession of some sort, and it is still a common occurrence. My friends and I were able to witness and be part of one such procession, meant to invite the gods and spirits to a newly built house temple during our stay in Banjarwani. Unlike the ensembles in the festival, who had rayong pots, this procession only had a gong, drums, chang-chang kopiak, and a katuk, which is shaped similarly to rayong pots, keeping the beat. There were village members carrying offerings and parasols, others that were singing, and others who, like us, were just walking alongside of everything. It was amazing to see the traditional form, the original roots of Blaganja, after seeing the competitive side of it all at the festival, and to see it in everyday life. Reporting for 91.1 WZBT Gettysburg College Radio, this is Chelsea Ferraro.